Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. You know, I've said over the years on this program that music has a way of connecting people, I think, like very few things can. It reaches you no matter where you may be, no matter what you may look like or where you may live. And our next guest definitely has realized that for himself and has been able to share that with others. We're excited to welcome to our program today Simon Illa. He's not only a music producer, but a person who also has his own love of music that he's been able to share with the world. I want to talk to him not only about his own journey with music, but also what it's been like for him to share his life with us as well. In 2015, Simon made a decision to be able to chronicle his life in a book. We're going to talk to him about that decision, but also what he hopes you're able to learn not only about his own journey, but also what's possible for all of you as well. Simon, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Cyrus. Thanks for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. As I said, you know, as a music producer, of course, music is a very big part of your life, Simon, and you've been able to share that with others. What has it been like for you to reflect on this journey and your different, you know, reflections in music and to see the way that you've been able to be a part of, you know, of so many different projects?
It's something that, you know, when you write a book, obviously something I hadn't done yet until this point, but when you do, it's funny, it's almost like getting my own advice, where I tell people, like, when you're going to do a task, like, don't look at it like a mountain. Say, okay, I got to take this step, then this step. You know what I mean? It's a series of small things. So what's funny is, it's like looking back, you know, when I work with an artist or with anyone and they say, well, I feel like I haven't progressed. I'm like, well, look at where you were a year ago, or look at where you were 5 years ago, you know, and when you do that, you see like, oh, okay, wow, I've really done a lot of things. And the book has been like that, you know, like when I was working on it, it was like, wow, okay, there's a whole lot here. You don't really realize it when you live it, you just do it. But then when you look back, you're like, okay, there's a lot of stuff here.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is the thing. You know, Simon, when you said that, it made me think, and it's something that I have come to appreciate for myself, and I've tried to let everyone know that everyone has a story that deserves to be told. I think all of us have gone through things in our lives that other people can appreciate, whether we believe that it means anything to anyone but us as well. But what was it about your journey that made you finally say last year that, you know what, I do have a story that people need to hear?
Well, a lot of that was, for years, people have told me I should, and I kept kind of, you know, I kept putting it off and was like, I don't know, I don't really know what that would be like or why would I do that, you know, but whether or not it's something that would be, you know, touched on in this interview, but if people know me or know my work, they know that I am, you know, will be considered physically disabled. Not a big fan of the word disabled, which I talk about in the book. But, you know, that being said, what I wanted for this book was to really reflect who I am as a person. And anyone that knows me, whether professionally or personally, knows that I don't really make the physical situation a point, you know, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's a non-point. It's not who I am. It happens to be the situation I'm in. So I think the book was more, I may be answering a question that might come later, but to me, writing the book was not just, let me tell some cool stories about being in the music business. It's a lot of, let me show you how much I am the same as everyone and my challenges are not what people might think they are.
Right.
And that goes for personal and professional, both
exactly.
sides. So it's something I, like you said, you know, everyone does have a story. I don't feel like mine is, to me, it's not that extraordinary. It's what I've done and what I've been through. But, you know, to put it down and to let people know, like, hey, okay, so guy, you know, looks a little different physically, but deals with the same stuff we all deal with and go through, and, you know, triumph and tragedy and all those things in between.
Right. Well, but let's widen out the conversation a little bit then, Simon. I think, you know, a big part of what you have already said has to do with your attitude, with your mindset, and the way that you have been able to look at life. What do you think has helped to set that for you? Because not everyone, of course, looks at their situation and sees the positive. Not everyone looks at it and sees the possibilities. Some people see, you know, what is not possible. What was it in your life that made you want to focus on what was possible more so than what wasn't possible?
When I was young, my upbringing, I was raised by my grandparents, specifically more so my grandmother, and I have a brother who is also disabled. We have the same physical condition, which is called OI, or osteogenesis imperfecta. So he's older than me. And what my grandmother found was that the time she had to spend helping him, I would grow impatient, and I started learning to do things on my own. And it started to permeate every aspect of my life, even as a kid. She's like, you wouldn't wait for anybody. You'd figure out how to get things on your own. So she never would stop me. I mean, she stopped me from doing really dumb things. But, you know, when I was a kid, I was in a physical situation that most people would really want to shelter and, like, protect and overprotect. And, you know, I was riding on a skateboard. I was riding a big wheel bike. I was doing crazy stuff, growing up. And I didn't get hurt doing it. I always got hurt doing stupid things. You know, that's how I was raised. One, I was raised to really find my own limitations. And two, my grandmother did a really good job at making sure that we understood you're physically different, but other than that, there's no point. Like, you're another person, you know. So, I wasn't really raised around people with disabilities. So to me, I understood that I was a minority in that aspect, and I learned to adapt to every situation. I learned, and not in a bad way, the world, isn't built for me. I'm not saying that as a pity story.
Sure.
It's okay. I'm not the majority. But I just learned, instead of, you know, like, oh, this isn't, I can't do this. It's like, well, I can do this. I might do it a different way, but I still do it. So what's the point? What is the point? You know, there's so many shades of, you know, quote unquote disability. I remember when I first started getting press attention, I posed a question to a writer. I said, well, at what point does one become disabled? Like, can you produce a record? And he said, no. I said, well, then to me, you're disabled. Like, what?
Right.
You know what I mean? Where do you draw
right.
the line? So I can't walk. So what? You know, I do everything else. I live by myself. I travel by myself. I produce records. I carry on. So what? Where is the point? That was like the longest explanation for that.
No, it was a great one. It was a great one, Simon, and it totally answered the question, and I appreciate that. I want to say, though, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Simon Illa is our guest for this segment. He's a music producer who's definitely been able to live life to the fullest, but also share his love of music and life with the world as well. He's gearing up for the release of his autobiography. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the program. So, you know, let's go back to music then, Simon. What was it about music that spoke to you, that made you say that this is what I want to do?
It runs in the family. My father was a musician. All of his brothers were in a band. Shout out to the Gilbert Brothers Band. It's from the 80s. My dad and my uncles were in a band, and I guess it's genetic. So I didn't really grow up with my dad. But I do believe some of these things are inherited. And, my brother, Brian, is an amazing artist. And he has been since he was a kid, like 3 years old. So growing up, I always tried to be an artist because, you know, you want to be like your big brother, you know.
Right.
He's getting all the attention, and he's super talented at, like, you know, 8 years old. He's drawing cartoons, like, spot on. And I'm like, I want some of that attention, you know, shoot. And I tried to no avail to be an artist, you know, paint stuff and draw stuff, and I was horrible at it. And, you know, at some point, it just took me a little longer to figure it out. When I was a teenager, you know, I knew music was in my blood, but I saw this documentary about the band Metallica. My dad bought me this documentary about them making an album. And it was really like the early version of like what we consider reality TV now. You know, it's basically a documentary of their day-to-day thing in the studio, and I just became obsessed with it and was watching this guy who was their producer, Bob Rock, and I'm like, that would be the coolest job ever, you know, to make records. Like, because I started discovering my musical ability around then, but I knew, like, well, I might not be the best musician, but, you know, I know what I want to hear. I know how I can, maybe I can learn how to get to that point, you know. And it was just something that I honestly, I think obsession is really the appropriate word. Because at, like, 14, that's what I wanted to do. And the weird and creepy thing is that, you know, I told my best friends back then, you know, I'm going to be a record producer, which was kind of BS because I didn't know, you know, how to do that, you know.
Sure.
So I was like, this is what I want to do. And then, you know, you look back, well, this is one of those things. You look back 10 years later, you know, well, it's been substantially more than that now. But, you know, even at the point of 10 years later or even more, and you're like, oh, okay, I actually did it. I actually
right.
have pulled it off and continue to do so.
Right. And I think that is the thing. And I think that's where the respect level comes from when it comes to you, Simon, because, you know, you have been able to be very singular in what your goal was, and then you've been able to make that goal a reality. I mean, could you have imagined, though, that just by your taking something that you are passionate about, that would be the thing that you would be known for?
I mean, not really. What's weird about it is, well, maybe it's not weird now that I think about it, but, you know, for some people, music is a hobby, meaning, you know, the average listener, the average enthusiast, even, you know, record collectors, but some people live these things, you know, that
right.
makes sense. You know, I live music, and that doesn't, I don't mean that in a cheesy kind of way, just because it's my job, but I do. Like, to me, if somebody says, 8 years old, what were you doing? I'm like, I don't know, but I was listening to New Edition. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell you what I was listening to at 8 years old, you know, or 10 years old, or 13. But it's like music bookmarks, and continues to bookmark my life, where it's like there was always, it was like a soundtrack, you know what I mean? So
right.
everything had to do with music. Everything revolved, like, you know, when I just can't think of a time where there wasn't music involved. It even strikes me odd now when, you know, people may listen to music, you know, a couple of times a week. I'm like, how do you do that? It's like an everyday occurrence to me, you know what I mean, for hours, whether I'm working or not, you know. It's just something that's a part of you. So it is kind of odd that I flipped it into, you know, something that, gave me a lot. So I don't know where this quote comes from, so I don't want to misrepresent it.
Hmm.
But there was a quote that I heard years ago that said, music gave me my life, so I give my life to music. So it's an interesting philosophy. So it's like, it's given me so much, so in return, I help create it.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
And I think that is the amazing thing. And I think that because that is what you do, and it's because of who you are, Simon, that is why,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think you've been able to be so true to it. And I think that is what has really gotten you recognized. You know, I think the other thing is you have been able to kind of chronicle this journey that you've been on. Social media is one of the things that's kind of come along the way for all of us, where we're able to kind of connect with one another. What has that been like for you to have people who you've never met before connect with you, be inspired by you, and motivated by you?
It's really been great. For the music business itself, it's a gift and a curse. You know, there's zero, for the artists that I work with, there are zero people in between them and their fans. There's no longer the need for a record label or an A&R to tell you what kind of music to make or for anyone to tell me what kind of record to produce. I can do whatever I want, you know. And it's a good time because, you know, someone like myself, you know, even in the media, you know, I'd be like, well, this guy may not be have an image or a brand, so to speak. But that's not true. And now these platforms allow someone like my, like I have people that know records that, like every record I've done, or most of them, or they follow what I do, or they see me, you know, here and there. I was on Miami Ink years ago, you know, and people followed me from that. And it's pretty amazing. And one thing you touched on that I wanted to bring up, if you don't mind, is the inspiration factor is something that I don't really push, because one thing I don't peddle in my own life is that what I'm doing, I'm not doing what I do to inspire people. That doesn't mean it doesn't. I'm just saying my goal is to make good music that I love, that, you know, the artists I work with love and all their fans love. This is about the music stuff. It's not about, you know, I've had people say, you know, like, oh, it's amazing that you find the courage to get up. And like, it's like, what does that mean? It's in a weird backhand kind of way. Sometimes I feel it's insulting for someone to say that, because in their eyes, it's like, I don't know how you even live. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I have a pretty good life, you know, like it's pretty cool. I'm not in any, you know, and I can always speak for myself. I can always speak for myself. And I'm not, you know, I'm not in any physical pain. I'm not in any, you know, I have very few health issues of any, you know, and it's just, it's weird. So in that term, that's how I feel about that. But in an overall perspective, even with, as I said earlier with the book, is I think it's great that if it inspires people, but I don't even feel that I am qualified to tell people like, hey, you can go do, I mean, example is what inspires me. I'm inspired by people, you know, there are people that have disabilities that inspire me, but it's more so because of what they do outside of that. It's more of what do you do in spite of your situation or despite your situation. You know what I mean? Not just, oh, you're automatically qualified to inspire me because you're different. It's like, well, everyone's different. But what are you doing in that situation that says, wow, that's, you know, I don't know if you, there's a friend of mine, Greg Smith, who is a radio host, and he's one of the first guys that interviewed me years ago when I started my career. He's a man with a muscular dystrophy, and he raised like 3 kids, and they're all in college, and he's still going strong and doing public speaking, and that inspires me on that tip, you know. But it's because of those things, and for the most part, the people that inspire me are people that make great music, because I'm not perfect. I'm not a saint. I'm not, you know, in a way, I'm selfish, you know, like turn my life into, you know, I want to make records, and most of my decisions have been made from my desire to do that.
Yeah. You know, I do want to say one thing, Simon, when I said inspired by you, I actually wasn't even referring it to, you know, to anything dealing with a disability. I actually was talking about the fact that there are people out there, as you know, who have a goal or an idea, or they say they want to do something, and that's all it becomes. It's never materializes into anything. They don't put forth any kind of work. They don't make any type of effort to be able to do it. And the inspiration for me is that you were able to say what you wanted to do. I want to be a music producer. But you didn't leave it at that. You then took the action necessary to be able to do it, you know, to actually show people, hey, you know what, you can, it's great to have this thing you say you want to do, but, you know, you can actually do it. And that's really what I was talking about, is, you know, that's inspiring because, you know, unfortunately there are so many people out there that don't have encouraging people around them, you know, who someone else may say, hey, I want to get into music, and then their cousin tells them, you're no good, you know, well, you know, that's a waste of your time, or don't even, you know, think about that. But they have an example of someone who said what they want to do, and then, you know, you were able to do it, and that's really what I was talking about. But I do appreciate the point that you're making, because I think it is an important one as well, and that is that all of us, as I said earlier, as I was saying about all of us having a story, all of us can be an example, I think, for people, you know, as to what's possible. And I think to take advantage of that in whatever form it may be, I think is such an amazing thing. You know, I want to kind of circle back around, though, to the book, because, you know, this is the year for you. We're going to let our audience know, Simon, how they can stay connected with you. But what is your hope when the book is published? What is your hope that people, when they read it, will not only know about you, but also know about what is possible in life?
I think it comes down to a factor of people need to realize their potential, I think, is what it is. Is, you know, from when I was really young, the question has always been, why not? You know what I mean? Why not me? And, you know, even in college, I remember working with young artists, and I was, you know, 19, 20 years old, you know, making records with young artists. And when I decided to leave, there was this, and moved to Philadelphia, it to me was like, I'm going to practice what I preach. You know what I mean? And like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something that kind of scares me. But it's a, like, I kept asking myself again and again, okay, I'm doing this at this level, but why can't I do it at a bigger level? Why can't I compete or work in the major industry? Why can't I be working with artists that are on tour and they're shooting videos and they're, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, why not? Like, I can do that. I mean, you know, and there were times I didn't always believe it, you know, but that's the artist mentality. But for the most part, I think if the other side overrides that, you know, it's really all persistence. You know, if there's one thing I am just persistent. And that was in a bad way when I was a kid, because I always wanted to get what I wanted, like most kids. But then when you get older, luckily I turned it into a good thing. You know, I turned the persistence into, well, I want to make records, so everything I do should line up with that. You know, and you're right, though. There are so many naysayers, and there's a part in the book, and I even refer to this on the website where we're doing the pre-sales, which I hope we can talk about briefly.
Sure.
Is that there was one incident in my childhood where my grandfather told my brother that he couldn't go to college. You know, he couldn't live by himself. He couldn't. It was not possible. But, you know, which at the time is, you know, in the 80s, that's kind of the mentality, you know, you're disabled, like, you know, the people with disabilities don't live by themselves. They don't, you know what I mean? That was kind of the common thought. And that just, once again, it lined up with my whole belief of, like, why not me? And it made me so, not really infuriated in an angry way, but more of a, it's like a, I refer to it as a fire, obviously, that lit inside of me, where it was like, there's an element of, yeah, let me show you. Let me show you what can be done. You know what I mean? By example. Right. And let me do, and I've done some crazy, I mean, Cyrus, when people read this book, there's some crazy, I don't recommend this to everyone, that when they read it, some of the things I did, I slept in, like, train stations and you know, in hotel, you know, telephone rooms, like in New York, just crazy stuff that at the time I was like, what the hell am I doing? But, you know, in the long run, it was just like, I have to do what I have to do. You know, and I know I'm safe and I'm smart. And that's the thing. It's not for everyone. That's why I don't always encourage everyone to do that, because it can be unsafe. I did a lot of crazy stuff that I think my grandmother would have had a heart attack, but I did a really good job at, like, keeping her in the know only of what she needed to know. You know what I mean? I never told her enough to make her scared. Just say, like, don't worry, I'm good. I'm in New York, or I'm in Philly, or I'm here, you know. And so it's, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's not an instruction manual. Go do what I did. But it's just like, you know, read this and be like, okay, the human, people are afraid, I think, of their potential. They don't understand the power that they have. Everyone, you know what I mean?
Right.
To really shape their life and their career. Everybody feels powerless, I think, but they're not really. It's really simple, but I think that's what scares people. It's very simple. I mean, you can do anything. I mean, I can sit here and talk to you, and I can throw my cell phone off my balcony, and that sounds weird to say, but those are limitless possibilities. I'm not going to do that. But I'm
right.
saying anything you think of, you're sitting in a room, you can do whatever. And it's just
yeah.
those people who take those chances and do those things that actually progress.
Exactly. A lot for us to be able to glean from you, Simon. I'm so excited that we had a chance to have this time to chat today. Again, everyone, Simon Illa is our guest. We've been talking to him not only about his journey as a music producer, but also, of course, this is a big year for him as far as releasing his book. And, Simon, you were just alluded to, you are taking pre-orders right now for the book. How can our audience
mm-hmm.
take advantage of being able to go ahead and pre-order the book today?
Okay, well, here's what we're doing, and we're catching it on the tail end of this because these things are going a lot faster than I thought. But what we did was, if I may explain briefly, we're almost looking at this like a record coming out because the industry has changed so much and the way people are selling records or music has changed. And I thought, well, let's adapt this to my book. So what we're doing is most of the books that will come out are going to be on demand printed, meaning we're not doing a mass printing. So what we're doing is we're doing 125 advanced copies, which I will personally sign and ship, and the person will get a digital copy of the book. And that is for a $40 donation, which goes to the editors of the book and to publishing the book. So we're almost doing it like a Kickstarter for a book. But the interesting thing is, as we are now, we have about 30 copies left. That's it, which is great. It's kind of beyond my imagination that they would go that fast. But if people go to Simon Illa, which is SimonIlla.com/book, B-O-O-K, there's a video and there's a donation link and there's also a preview chapter. So people can check that out. And also the pre-orders, when they come out, they are coming out at least a month before the actual book comes out. So everybody that pre-orders is going to get an advanced copy that I'm going to personally hand sign and write a little note to that person for ordering it.
Wow. So SimonIlla.com/book is where you all can go. There you can do the pre-order. You can read a sample chapter from the book as well. And then, of course, you'll know that you'll be able to get the book ahead of everyone else by taking advantage of that offer. So, again, SimonIlla.com/book. So make sure you all take advantage of that opportunity. You know, Simon, you know, great conversation with you today. I'm really glad that we got a chance to speak. And, look, it goes without saying, when the book officially releases, we'll love to have you back on the program again.
I'd love to come back. It's been awesome.
Hey, man, we appreciate the time. And we appreciate you all for tuning in to another edition of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.